Everyone, welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, Jason Hobbs, and I have another fine guest that I've been trying to get for months. He is a super famous G Plus guy.
You're overselling me.
And an old school blogger, Ram S. How you doing, Ram?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I am super excited to have you, actually. You remind me so much of like Nick, who was like, oh, what are you possibly going to talk to me about? There's no one's going to know who I am. And it was like a really well-received episode and really fun to do.
But Nick actually does stuff. I think that's the difference between him and I. I think you need to lower people's expectations at the start of this podcast. And then, you know.
All right. Well, we'll take that as a lowering of the expectations, yeah, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
All right. So I won't leave everyone in suspense. His blog is Save versus Total Party Kill, and we will get into that later. Now I usually talk about how we know each other during the introduction here. Obviously, I know you from G Plus. Yes. I don't know if that's where you know me, I guess, but
no. I think definitely from G Plus. That's how I know everybody. Everybody in this scene.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So on G Plus, what do you think you were best known as?
A calm figure? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like a calming place, because there was, you know, the OSR and the scene on G Plus was such a amorphous, multifaceted thing. So there were constantly people from different sides arguing about FACO and ascending versus descending armor class, and you know, some real world stuff as well. But you always seem like willing to try and be that center line that helped balance things. Would you say that's true?
I think I have a very Canadian part of the Canadian OSR that is pleasant.
Who else is in the Canadian OSR? Dr. Gillespie and Malachevsky? Or
Malachevsky. There's Brendan.
Oh, Brendan, right.
Kyle. Yeah. There's a lot of people, actually.
Oh, yeah.
There's just even in Toronto, there's a big, like, I would say OSR scene.
I would totally agree with that. That's where, like, OSR Con is, right?
Yes, that's right.
That's so awesome. You know what? You should talk to whoever puts that on and tell them they should get me as a special guest there. That would be fantastic.
They haven't run it in a while. It's, the fellow who runs it goes through waves of being motivated and trying to run something and then being unhappy with like turnout or this or that. I think, it's fun. It's actually where I met James M. first.
Okay. I could see how that would go when you're talking about conventions.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely could be disappointing.
It's like a very niche. It's already a niche. It's like a niche and a niche and a niche, right?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like Grognard's in Toronto.
That sounds like a biker gang, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So were you a pretty big part of the Flail Snails as well?
A little bit. I think when I joined G Plus, I was playing 4th edition at the time. Like, I'd gotten back into D&D. And the 4E game I was playing was sort of on the outs. And I was, I think at that point, pretty disillusioned with 4E. And I think I'd found James's blog and ended up on G Plus. And so I ended up joining Brendan's game, which is Pavilorn, which wasn't Flail Snails, but it was sort of like open table. And it was like originally like a pretty permanent set of players in that game. And then I would play in like Flail Snails games like Ronaldo Ren, Pyrovania, which was his like Castlevania Ravenloft sort of like Nintendo thing. What other? There's like, I wasn't super deep into Flail Snails, but I was playing online pretty regularly. Like that's probably like my peak D&D playing, was those like early years of G+.
Awesome. When would you say that was? About 2012? What?
Yeah, I want to say, 2012, 2011. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't like the first person there, but it was definitely early days. So I was like, you know, like when everybody still liked each other and, people were just excited that you could play D&D, like with strangers on the internet, you know?
Yeah. And some of that was D&D that was no longer being published, right?
Yeah.
Right. Which is kind of what the OSR is, I guess. That's kind of where it started in many ways. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool, man. So, let's talk about what we're playing. I forgot to mention Brendan, but are you still playing Kill Team with him occasionally or what? I used to remember seeing that all the time.
No, I play with Evan Weber, who was also part of like that, like he's part of like the Toronto OSR scene as well. And yeah, I play. So I was going to say, I haven't honestly been playing much regular like RPGing. Like we'll meet up. And recently I've actually been playing story games instead of D&D. So the last thing I played was Dogs in the Vineyard.
Nice.
It's actually a very cool game. That's a couple weeks ago. The thing I have been spending most of my time in is like Warhammer. Like, so Kill Team, I played Inquisitor recently, which is pretty cool. And it's a bit more RPG-ish.
Yes.
I haven't been playing online much. And so it's only when everyone, like all the people's orbits align that we can get together and play something.
Scheduling sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically. So Brendan S was back in Toronto for the summer. So over the summer, I was sort of playing more regularly. But in general, I think I've been playing RPGs less than I was previously. Yeah. What about yourself?
So I would say I've been playing, I mean, there's been times when I would play 8-10 days in a row, but lately I've been busy with, mm-hmm. you know, real life work stuff, but I still normally get in at least a game a week or something. My new intriguing endeavor right now is, you ever heard of Low Fantasy Gaming by Pickpocket Press or Steven Grodzicki?
I have. I don't know anything about it.
It's it's kind of interesting because it's called Low Fantasy Gaming, which I'm actually interested in the low fantasy subgenre, you know, kind of a sword and sorcery feel. And but when you actually look at the book, I'm not sure how low fantasy it really feels. I think the author was comparing it to fifth edition, and it's way lower fantasy than fifth edition. But it's not necessarily lower fantasy than BX, what you would consider BX, or it's not Middle Ages simulationism or anything like that. But it does.
Is it is it like a 5e hack or something? Or
no, I wouldn't call it a 5e hack. I would just say that it has the feeling of 5e behind it, mostly because of some of the mechanics it uses. So I'm actually probably going to have him on the show. He's just in Australia. So scheduling is much more difficult.
Scheduling,
but it's, you know, basically it's got 6 or 7 stats. It includes a luck stat that you can do. He calls them minor and major exploits or rescue exploits. So it would be similar to the deed die in Dungeon Crawl Classics, where, you know, you can say what you want to do. And as you roll the hit, and if you hit and you do damage, then you do it. The GM and the players are going to negotiate it, whether it's a minor or a major exploit. So the miners have really no cost other than doing, if you hit and do damage, it succeeds, kind of like the deed die. A major exploit would be more extensive and it would cost you a point of luck. So your luck's constantly going down as you use it. And that's also your saving throw. So it has some similarities. And then the rescue exploit is like, if you have a turn, you know, you can, it's giving you some more narrative control than a lot of other games, OSR type games would have, or even 5e has, just in those exploits, I would say are probably, the biggest difference. I'm going to actually run it as a, West Marches game, an open table West Marches game. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm using the actual Midlands, but I haven't ran it yet. We had, I have some people making characters and I've been working on the Roll 20. So, the first main game is October 5th. If you want to get involved in that, then, let me know, send me an email, you or any listeners, obviously, or, check in the Discord. All right. So here we go. Everyone's favorite, segment about, the introduction, everything about you. Did you want to go first or do you want me to?
You should go first.
Well, I kind of explained it. The name of that game is Midlands Menagerie, and Pickpocket Press is actually sponsoring my Twitch channel. So I'm I'm going to give away some hardcover Low Fantasy Gaming Deluxe Edition books right from my Twitch channel to the spectators. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So everything about me, I don't know what to say. Like, so by day, I'm a programmer. Like, that's why I was saying it's funny you want me on the show, because I really don't do, like, I don't make books or podcasts or anything. It's, this is like 100% just like a hobby for me, what, you know, when I enjoy a lot. But I don't know, Hobbs, what's an interesting thing you want me to tell you about?
What kind of programmer are you?
I work in the computer security industry, actually. But I call myself a programmer. I actually just am like a manager at this point in my life.
Okay.
But it, like in my heart, I'm a programmer. right now I program in a language called Python.
So,
which is easy to learn.
I'm surprised, you know, if you're a programmer at heart that you haven't done like any Python-esque type gaming things.
Like those generators I've written, a lot of the web app stuff that I've made
are with Python.
Like, are like in Python and stuff.
Okay.
Actually making like proper games and stuff is, it's like a big endeavor. I just don't have the time for it.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. Awesome. No, I mean, I think that's cool. That's great. I wouldn't say, you know, it's as interesting or cool as, you know, being a semi-pro wrestler like Jose Lucario at one point in his life. But, you know, maybe you put the mask on like a luchador sometimes. I don't know, Ram.
No, I lead a very pedestrian life.
I like that. So let's get into your actual website then. So like we mentioned previously, it's called Save versus Total Party Kill. I think that this is one of the most, I mean, one of the things you have, which I want to talk about. We can start with that, really. The generator for BX characters is, I would say, between that and Meat Shields, the most used thing I have ever used online for my games. All of my characters for the mini West Marches BX games, my Kalmata game, all of those, we use that, and I tell people to go to that and make a character. So you want to talk about your inspiration as far as the generators go?
Yeah, so... like I said, I got online. I met Brendan. He was running this OD&D game. And I was sort of like, you know, like when I was growing up, I played second edition. And the, you know, the cultural norm was your characters never actually die, right? Like, and, but reading all these OS, like, you know, getting sort of immersed in the scene, it seemed like I was like, I have to like mentally prepare myself for my characters to die. And like, you know, like Brendan had made these like random equipment tables, which I always find is the most tedious part of making a character, like, you know, like the doing the shopping
here.
yeah. So because he had made these tables, I was like, that was sort of really the original, like him making those tables and me having this sense that being able to like quickly spit out characters would be useful in his game. Like in my head, I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be this big meat grinder playing OD&D. People are going to die all the time. So I originally made like a little script I could run locally that would spit out a character. And then I don't actually know what like drove me to do like the next step, which is put it online. But it is definitely the most popular thing on the site by far. And I've met lots of random people who do play like sort of meat grinder games that are predicated on the generator spitting out characters quickly.
Oh, I mean, I would say I tell everyone that I have an 80% lethality rate in my Kalmata game, and it's over 150 sessions. So
yeah,
if that tells you anything on the number of characters that have been created.
Yeah. I was talking to... Oh, sorry,
I was just going to say, what about, you know, like you have three lines, you have like a three words or three phrases that you put for each.
Oh, yeah. So
fat, like well-dressed woman, or I don't know, you know, obese is what I think it normally says.
So this is also, I think it originally comes from a table in Gavin Norman's... one of his wizard books, like one of his book of spells. Hmm. And then one of the spells had a table for like, if you polymorph, these are like how you're going to show up or something like that.
See, that is great. That is a great story. I wondered where that came from.
So then, I mean, the funny thing about that, you know, one thing for representation, it's like 50% male, 50% female. I think a quarter of the time you're going to be a child. And maybe an eighth of the time you're like missing a limb. So it's very like, it spits out very odd characters. Like I've played in a lot of games with like murder hobo children, basically. Or like, you know, like really old decrepit people. It's also a very common, thing it would spit
yes,
out.
Yes, for sure. I have seen that many times. Children and then the people who aren't used to that generator and it pops out that obese yeah. child, well-dressed or in uniform. And they're yeah. just like, what is yeah. this?
No, it's like, it's such a nonsense table, but I think it does give some character. To the things that get spit out, like Gus Ella has a blog post on his blog. Maybe I'll link it to you in the show notes where he used the character generator and spit out, I think exactly that, like child, you know, in uniform, whatever, whatever. And then he turned that into some like diabolical psycho baby. It was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw it in there. So, one of my other questions, you can see it on the outline. What's up mm-hmm. with the people getting 20 short bows?
Is that a
yes,
thing?
Yes, that happens.
That's probably a bug.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a feature. I mean, people are like, oh, can I sell these? What's going on? You know?
It is fine. Like every so often someone will reach out to point out a typo or some little mistake. But I do think a lot of people just assume it works properly. I didn't know there was a number of bows bug, though.
Yeah, there is. Have you ever considered like adding more? Like, you know, like facial hair type things, like goatee or lamb chops or anything. Have you ever considered changing that generator around?
I think the Carcosa generator has a different appearance table, or maybe the Apollyon one does. So once I made the initial one, Brendan had all these house rules for his game. So I made like a generator specific for his. And then I was playing in Gus's Apollyon game, which was Filial Snails.
Yep.
So then I made a generator specific for him. And then after I made that generator, he made like a random appearance table that was like appropriate for a polyon. So I have done it for some of the more specific generators. I've tried to, like, the generator doesn't pick names. It doesn't pick alignment. There's some things I like purposely left out to just keep the characters a bit ambiguous so people can, bring your own.
Have room to move around, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. I think you were kind of alluding to this previously, but what's the origin? Obviously, you expected a lot of death, so that's why. I mean, why don't you talk about the name of the blog and, your origin story for it?
So I got on G+. I started playing D&D Online, and it honestly felt like the thing to do was have a blog. Like, you couldn't be part of the scene if you didn't also have a blog. Like, it felt like they went very much hand in hand, especially at, like, I think I joined maybe at the very beginning of not the death of the blogging scene, but I definitely got quiet as G+ became more popular. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the heyday for blogging, it was like Pete Grugnardia and like Peak Jeff Brent's blog and stuff feels like it's a bit earlier. Like Raji, like all these guys felt like they were blogging. But maybe by 2012, 2013, people had shifted a lot of that conversation to G+.
Yep, I would agree.
But when I joined G+, I was like, everybody's a blogger. And I was a longtime blogger. Like, I had a personal blog. Like, starting one felt like a natural thing to do. I was just trying to honestly, like, what's like a very OSR name, right? I love all the old, like, like save versus death ray, save versus.
Yeah, the old saving throws.
The old saving throws are very flavorful. Yeah. So I was, I enjoy the name.
The name is kind of an interesting mishmash of old school terms, right?
Just a bunch of It's just like throw it against
awesome.
The wall.
So something that I think, it looked like you've only been doing it for 4 years. I thought it was longer than that, but I thought you used to call them the Rammies, your awards of the OSR. But it looks like you changed the name now.
No, they've always been one, two. I think this is the fifth year I've done them. So I think I started in 2015. Okay. So there's another award called the Ennies, which maybe your listeners have heard of. I don't
know.
They
have, since I was nominated for one. I don't know. I never got a Rammy, though.
Someone else brought up that I should give him up podcasts too. But in my humble opinion, I don't think the Ennies have good taste. So, especially like a long time ago. So, Jez Gordon did the art for Death Frost Dune, mm-hmm. which I thought was amazing. But he wasn't nominated for anything. So I think I just decided to make, I made a random blog post basically saying like, hey, these are my awards. These are the people who are getting them, right? And it was meant to be a bit of a joke, really the whole impetus was just like, I wanted to originally just write about the books I had like bought the previous year that I thought was great and then had waited so long to do that blog post that it was like bumping up against like the Ennies were maybe like a few weeks away. And I don't know if, I can't remember what the real like push to like publish that post at that particular time was, other than I probably just saw something that annoyed me about how the Ennies, hadn't nominated Jess, for example. Like, there's a lot of obvious stuff that the Ennies would overlook.
Yes.
And I would say still continue to overlook.
Yes, I would agree.
So yeah, it was originally, yeah, and then the name, so like it's the Remnant Severangian Awards for Excellence in Gaming, which was sort of meant to be a play on another award called the Diana Jones Award. So if you go to the Diana Jones website, it's, so I think you go to the Diana Jones website, there's no like actual Diana Jones. It's just like, some made up name, but it's like, I would say that's like a very highbrow gaming award.
It's like, it's made by the same people who do the Annies, but it's like the high end one, or is it by someone else?
I think it's, I think it's like done by some secret cabal of indie gamers or something like that. But, so the name of these awards is meant to be a play on that as well. Like, you know, like sort of like a parody of the Diana Jones Awards. Like here's a bunch of, random awards for like random games picked by me and no one else. Cause I can't, you can't trust the masses to pick
stuff.
No,
Ram, I was so certain by having you on here, there was no way I could possibly have any hate mail or anything. But now that you've made fun of the Diana Jones Awards, I think we're screwed.
I'm not making fun
of
them. I think they're lovely awards. But you know, like the Diana Jones Awards will do stuff like, I think last year, the year before, like streaming or something won the Diana Jones Award for like best thing ever, right?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It's like when Time Magazine, you know, like when Time Magazine is like the person of the year is you. It's like,
they've jumped the shark, man. Right?
Yeah.
All right. I agree completely. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, this kind of crops into talking about the status of the OSR, I guess. You didn't, do you feel like, well, maybe I'll just slip into that and we'll see if it comes back to blogs. So, I guess my first question is, as a long-term OSR senior, how do you feel about the OSR today? Like, what's the status of it?
I don't know. I mean, it's still there. It's hard to say. I think it's in a weird place right now. Like it had really congealed around Google Plus, I think in a way that it hadn't before and maybe won't ever again. So, sometimes when I'll talk to people, people will think of the OSR as like this, like homogenous blob of people, right? Like, and people will get angry, like the OSR is not calling out this person or that person, or they'll have, you know, I think people have like a very, I think people's view of the OSR is like, you know, like middle-aged white guy, like, skewed. You know, like this, like, like grognards, you know, maybe like right-wing people, like older, more conservative, whatever, right? And I think that is some facet of the OSR for sure. But it's also like a million other people, right?
All the people.
And I think, yeah, like, I think it's funny, like D&D is the most popular, like, RPG thing ever, right?
I would say.
It's funny that people can't sort of imagine that the most popular RPG thing ever is going to have fans that sort of run the gamut, right?
And so when they say it's a community, it's kind of ignorant, really. It shows you the ignorance of your vision of what the OSR is, in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I would say the OSR is like, you know, it's like a community the same way, like there's no like death metal community, right? Like there's, you're like fans of a thing. But you know, there are like, I would say within the OSR, there are like communities, right? Like, there's Dragon's Foot. Like, so for example, like I think, you know, like there's Dragon's Foot, the forum, there's Odd 74, like that forum, like there's like that, there's like a whole OSR that existed on those forums that never really switched to Google Plus.
Yeah, and, just a couple people,
you know, so
did,
Google Plus
right?
came and went. Yeah. So I think people don't really think of, people sometimes forget that like that whole scene exists, right? Like,
well, I mean, there's people who don't even get on the internet that are still playing, you know, AD&D. So, you know.
Like, I think it's funny, like when I used to, like I used to pay more attention to what was happening on Dragon's Foot, like at the, I think when Google Plus was still sort of getting off the ground. And you'd be people there who, you know, like I might say they're part of the OSR, but they wouldn't call themselves part of the OSR because they're like, oh, you know, like I never stopped playing AD&D first edition.
They hated the OSR when it first came out.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's no renaissance. They're like, this is we've always done this.
Yeah,
right?
We've always done exactly.
So I think sorry, I'm rambling. But yeah, I think so.
Well, here, let me focus you a little bit.
I would say
bit.
There's
with the fall of G+, what's happening now? I mean, I know that you've chosen Twitter, it seems like. That's where I see you. I don't really see you anywhere else. And everywhere. But.
So I would say it's very splintered now, right? So there's definitely OSR people on Twitter, but
some of them are even like, different groups. Like the Mephrodis, if you know who that is, who talks about elite gamers all the time and posts all the pictures of like Arnold Schwarzenegger or muscle dudes. And you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
A whole group of people that you weren't even aware of. I mean, and then you have like, I would say more like the LGBTQ scene, right? There's a lot of those people. You have, you know, the punkers kind of thing. There's all, and there, some of them are all in different places on Twitter. It's just a place that you can carve out a place, just like you could on G+ or Discord, or like, do you think blogs are coming back?
Yeah, like Discord is definitely, I would say it feels like a lot of people moved to Discords. And so there's, you know, like I'm part of like 8 or something, 8, 9, 10, who knows, right? Like there's all these like little mini communities now of rando people.
Yes.
So
but saying they moved to Discord, you know, doesn't really mean anything because they're still not together on Discord, right? They're all separated still.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it feels like, you know, it probably feels a bit like, those early days when everyone's on forums and commenting, like, you know, like everything happens in the comment space on Gragnardi or something, right? Like,
or the different blogs like, that you used to read and you had to skip around through the whole groups of blogs. Now you just kind of have to follow Discord or Mammoth or MeWe or Twitter or all these different places to try and keep up, and you still really can't, and there's still groups of people that aren't on any of those, right? So
it definitely feels like it's a weird time, I would say, for those. I don't know if I hate to be one of those people that's like super nostalgic and like, oh, like, you know, you weren't there, like G+ was amazing, you weren't there, right? But it is actually what I think. Like G+ was I think G+, you know, had its flaws, and it was definitely like a weird social media site, like 100%. But it did that particular thing really well, right? Like a lot. It pulled a lot of people together. I think it helped organize like sort of all the rando conversation that was happening around like old school gaming, and it was all in one place. It was easy to read. It was easy to like start discussions and like pull people into your discussion. Like if you wanted like someone's expert opinion, you could just tag them in, right?
Part like, of that, I think
that sort of stuff doesn't exist.
Part of it was the way that the movement gathered by sharing massive circles of people with each other, right?
Yeah.
So that was definitely something interesting that happened there that could happen again on Facebook if someone wanted to, but I'm not even sure. I don't really think it'll ever happen again because of how different all those people were and the way that the US, our country specifically, has these divide now. The divide is so much stronger than it ever was. It's so much more difficult to keep politics out of your gaming, if that's what your desire was, it's not going to be easy for sure.
I think, I mean, G Plus was interesting, I guess, at the time it happened as well, right? Like nobody knew who anyone was, mm-hmm. right? People were and it was a social media site where no one had any, like, Facebook is, like, people who use Facebook, that's like their, like, personal, often it's their personal social media site,
their
right?
Family, so, and all that stuff is involved. Yeah. Yep.
Whereas Google Plus, everyone I would follow on Google Plus only used Google Plus to talk about D&D. Like, they wouldn't use it to also, like, post pictures of their kids.
They weren't trying to sell water softeners from their day job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, MeWe, I think, could have felt like a similar space, like, in that it's like a weird social media site that no one else would mm-hmm. join, except for the fact that you could go and talk about RPGs there. Mm-hmm. But then that site felt like it had a lot of weird baggage, and it also was ugly.
Yes.
Like, that's one of the main reasons I never switched.
The thing is, though, to me, is Google Plus had that weird baggage as well, but we just didn't know, or we ignored it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. But I haven't stayed on MeWe. I tried to get on there and gather all the peoples and do all the stuff, mm-hmm. but even I don't really go back there. It's crazy. I feel myself being more involved in Facebook just because, but I don't necessarily like it because it's all the stuff, like, everything is there. My professional job, mm-hmm. My gaming stuff, like you say, your family, my old paintball buddies, my whole life is kind of there. And so when I make a big post about gaming or something that mm-hmm. happened on gaming, all the people are like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, they don't even know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty weird. Awesome.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
why mm-hmm. did you choose Twitter?
Yeah. I've been on Twitter since the beginning.
Nice.
I have two Twitter accounts. I have this gaming one. My original Twitter account, you know, I think I'm Twitter user 2000 or 3000 or something. Like, I joined right when it started.
That sounds hipster, Ram.
It's very, this is me, some hipster cred right now. So, like, when I joined Twitter, it was like a weird time. Like, there was like a global stream. Like, you could just see everyone's posts because they came at such a slow pace, and you would like make friends with just like the other Twitter users and stuff. So I like Twitter. Like, I'm nostalgic for like old Twitter. Now it's like mostly like Nazis and terrible people, but, I'm like comfortable with like it as a social media site. I don't use Facebook, so it wasn't really an option for me. I wasn't interested in joining Facebook. And then, a lot of the other social media sites are just like too weird. I think it's hard to like get that, like, whatever mindshare of people you need to like that critical mass of people. Twitter, it was easy to do because a lot of people were already there, and it's already like a popular social media site. Like, it doesn't feel like you're like investing in something weird that might, you know, like disappear.
What do they call that syndrome where people leave them? Oh, abandonment syndrome or something from their social medias.
Yeah.
All right. So, like I told you, we would have more than enough things to talk about. We're getting close. So it's time for me to give out some appreciation to my patrons. So this episode, I would like to thank TJ Drennan. So TJ also has a patron. He's a musician of sorts, and he is doing gaming and podcast bumpers on his patron. So go check it out. It's TJ Drennan. Jesper Olson is another patron of Hobbs and Friends, and Brian Miller. Both of those two guys have been patrons for almost the length of the show's life, 2 years. Thanks, guys. Keep it up. If anyone else would like to be on for the rest of the show's life, head over to www.patreon.com/OSRNHobbs. So, Ram, if someone wanted to Twitter you up, you know, how would they get a hold of you?
So on Twitter, I'm Save versus TPK. So you can find me there. I would say I tweet semi-infrequently, so I'm not too chatty and easy to follow.
You seem pretty active to me. Anyway, if you wanted to tweet me, you can find me at OSRN Hobbs or my personal account. I don't know how to keep things separated, I guess. At Hobbs indeed. You can also join some groups. I have a group on Facebook and a group on MeWe. Both are called, strangely enough, Hobbs and Friends. We do have our own Discord server. It's called Audio Dungeon. It's ran by Jose Licario, and you can find me and tons of other podcasts there. And there's even a group called the OSR Anchorites, which is like 50 people doing shows with the Anchor app and creating podcasts. You can call me on my Google number, which I still don't understand. 815-200-4894. Ram, if anyone really wanted to find out how to save versus total party kill, I guess I already asked you this. You already gave it. Is there any other way? You got any last words?
I do wonder if podcasts are the new blogs for the OSR.
In the OSR Anchorites group, it definitely is, because with that app, you can call each other and leave messages that then the person can play during their show and then talk to it. Like, it's almost like a radio show. And so now you have 30 or 40 different radio shows all talking to each other on similar topics. It's pretty cool. You should check it out, man. But it does get really rambly too. So I guess I'll wrap this up. Remember this, people, we've all got our jobs to do. So stick around. I don't care how depressed you get, stick around and get whatever it is you're supposed to get done. And I hope you enjoyed this little trip through Mr. Hobbs's gamerhood. Won't you be my gamer? TJ, take it away.
It's a beautiful day in the gamerhood, a beautiful day for my gamers. Would you be one? Could you be one? Zelda, that's plunder, but don't despair. This colony's breeding great robbers. Would you be one? Could you be one? If an 80% mortality rate works for you, for a few bucks a month you can sign up and have the hogs kill you. Make the most of another Sunday. Brew up some coffee and play it my way. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my gamers? Won't you be? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my gamers?